praise. Lord, we lift your name above every name. Hallelujah. We give you the glory and the honor, Lord. You are matchless in every way, Lord God. You are beautiful, wonderful. You are so mighty, oh God. Lord, we lay ourselves before you, Lord, to give you praise and glory, Lord. We lay every care and concern before you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We exalt the name of Jesus high above all other things. We thank you that the presence and the power of God is here today. And we receive you right now. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you this morning. Lord, hallelujah, let me speak not as man, let me speak as the oracles of God. Let me speak with revelation knowledge flowing out of me, Lord, according to your power and your ability, Lord. Let your hearers hear your voice today. Lord, let everyone in this room hear from you today. Lord, let no man be exalted, but let the Most High God be exalted above all. We receive, we open our ears to you, that you might speak a word to us, a word that we might stand on, a word that we might see you bring to manifestation in our lives. For you've called the church, Lord God, to be an open display of your manifold wisdom. Therefore, we yield ourselves to be those vessels. So, Lord God, as we release ourselves, we thank you that you will fill every empty space today. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about foundations, and we're talking about the power of agreement. And one of the most powerful things that any Christian has is the ability to pray. The absolute most powerful thing you have available to you as a Christian is your ability to talk to God. You see, in the Old Testament, God showed up to a handful of people and made himself known. So we know that the word says that Abraham was a friend of God. And in order to be the friend of God, it means that God has to show up and there has to be some interaction. So you can't be somebody's friend if you don't interact with them, right? So if somebody says, oh yeah, Derry's my friend, but we never interacted, then you're not my friend. We might be acquaintances. You might know me from a distance. You might know of me, but you're not my friend unless we have had interaction. All right. So when we talk about the power of agreement is when two parties come together and they are agreed. People can come together and be successful. That is evidenced by every corporation in the nation that is successful. A group of people come together, and if the core, the nucleus, is agreed on an idea, on a thought, or a service, a process, they can make that process, product, whatever it is, they can make it successful. They don't need God involved. Because God has given man the ability to come into agreement and do whatever he chooses. If you don't believe me, ask Adam and Eve. When they together decided that they were going to eat, they were successful. And they got exactly what they wanted. They got the ability to be like God and to see what God sees. They've got the ability to see good and evil, but the only problem is they had the ability, but they didn't have the power to overcome evil. Their eyes were opened, and they saw what they did not need to see. Because sometimes your eyes get open to things too soon, and you can't handle what you see. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve, and that's what's wrong with us right now. Our eyes have been opened to good and evil, and because our eyes are open to good and evil, when you see evil and it looks good to you, even though you know it's aimed for destruction, you can't say no. You know where it's going. You know it's not going to end good. But for some reason, something in me just can't say no. Why? It's the nature. It agrees with that nature. Adam and Eve were friends with God. They lived in the garden. The word says that they walked with God in the cool of the day. They walked with God and talked with God. They were his friends. But Jesus has come to restore all things to us, and one of those things that he has restored to us is our ability to have friendship with God, which means that we're able to have partnership with God. We have a simple definition of prayer. Prayer is talking to God, listening to God, and partnering with God, moving with God, operating with God, being in agreement with God. When you think of prayer like that, you take prayer out of the context of, oh God, I need you. Because God didn't answer needs. He said to supply your needs, but God doesn't answer the prayer of need. You can't go through the Bible and find the prayer of need. You find the prayer of agreement, you find the prayer of faith, you don't find the prayer of need. Now, sometimes my kids ask me for stuff that they need, right? My answering of what they need is whether I believe they have what it takes to get it on their own or not. If they can get it on their own, then I'm gonna smile and I'm gonna ask them, what are you gonna do about that? Selah. See, God doesn't answer prayers of need. God answers prayers of faith. But the problem for us is sometimes we're asking God out of need for things that he knows we can do ourselves. And we're crying. We're calling out to God. We're begging God. But God at the same time says, you can do that. I don't need to step in on this. I gave you my spirit. I'm giving the Holy Spirit in you. He will give you wisdom. What, remember the 7 points of anointing? He'll give you wisdom, understanding. He'll give you counsel, might, discernment. He'll give you those things. So why does God need to then step in and cause a mighty rushing wind to fall over you? Ooh, it's quiet in here. The power of agreement is that you need to know the mind of God so that you know what to ask for and what not to ask for. Not because God doesn't want you to have things, because you need to know what you need to handle on your own. You need to understand what it is that God has given me that I can walk in and I can do that God doesn't have to come and help me. So amazing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Tony, we won't even be using it. You got to keep with me. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to go to verse 10. When you get there, tell your neighbor, this might be a hard word. Ephesians chapter 10, chapter 6. I'm going to say it right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, why do you need to be strong in the Lord if the Lord is going to do it for you? If the Lord's going to do it for you, why do you need to be strong in him? See, what this passage is saying is that, you know what? I'm about to lay something on you that you're going to need to do in his strength. And don't expect him to do it for you. That means you're going to have to face some obstacles in God's strength. Now, your strength, you can't make it. See, he's already telling you, don't be strong in your strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power which his might makes available. There is a might and a power that God's strength makes available to us that can empower you to walk through anything. You face the worst obstacle in your life, and God can empower you to go through that thing. He can totally empower you, and not to go through saying, oh God, I'm just bare. No, to go through it. strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Finally, in other words, once you know everything else, you need to know this. Finally, you're going to have to be strong. Look at the first word in the passage. Finally. In other words, you're going to learn a lot of stuff. You're going to find out a lot of things. You're going to learn about how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a worker, how to be a boss. You're going to find all these things in the book of Ephesians. But finally, brethren, be strong. Finally, be strong. Now, why is this important? It's important because right now in the church, we have not been strong. We have been weak. We have been weak. We have not fully embraced the truth of the word, and we haven't taken the word to every aspect of our lives. I was a minister, and a bunch of guys asked me to go play basketball one day. Okay, so I never played basketball in high school because of some injuries, and I made my college team, and I didn't pass my physical. So there we go. So these guys knew I didn't play basketball in high school, so they said, come on, let's go play. So we went, called a preacher boy, come play. So we went to play. After we finished playing, they said, man, we didn't think you could play basketball. I said, oh, y'all thought because I carry a Bible that I can't do anything else. I see. I got my lenses are straight. I see. You thought the little Bible boy couldn't do anything else. And so sometimes people will look at you that way. They'll look at you and believe that because you carry a Bible or because you read your Bible, because you study your Bible, that you must not be able to do other things. Oh, all the opposite. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know exactly who I am. I have abilities that you ain't thought about. I can do stuff you can't dream about. Why? Because when you're trying to figure it out, I'll be praying and getting a divine download coming down in my spirit. I will know stuff you don't know. Why? Because I'm strong in the Lord, not just my own strength. The end of my strength doesn't mean the end of where I can go. The end of my strength means I got another level I can go to. There's another level you can go to. When you've run, you've done all you can. Stand. Come on. Come on, let's keep going. Let's go to Ephesians 6, and we'll look at the rest of this. Go through verse 6. We're at verse 10, right? We're going to go 10 through 18. Let's do it. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We read 10. Put on verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. There's a trickery that the devil wants to bring to you, and you need to be able to stand against the tricks. The biggest trick in the book is that you got to wait on God. There's some things you need to wait on God for. There's other things you need to just stand up on. Don't fall for the tricks of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Where is your battle? Where is your battle? It's in the heavenly places. Your battle's in the spiritual realm. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're not fighting with people. You're not in arguments with people. You're not in conflict with people. You're in conflict against spiritual hosts of wickedness. And you can't fight spiritual hosts of wickedness with natural armor. The last samurai. He's going out to battle. Y'all seen the movie? He goes out to battle. What's the problem? They got guns. He's the last samurai for a reason. Because you can't fight a fight with the wrong weapons. You can't fight a cancer with a Band-Aid. You can't fight diabetes with a bottle of Gatorade. It's got electrolytes, but it's not gonna fight what you got. So you can keep drinking it all you want. It's not gonna fight what you have. You can keep stepping out to fight the same battle. You can take your sword out there, oh great samurai. You might be totally skilled with your sword. But if that's not the battle you're fighting, you can't win. So foundation to us as a body of believers is to understand that God's calling is for us to be in agreement with Him so He can reveal to you what battle you're actually fighting. Because I know some people who are wrestling and struggling with a battle, but it's not the right battle. So I'm wrestling with my identity, but your identity is not your problem. It's God's identity. Because you're partnering with Him. So as long as I was trying to find myself in the world, I kept finding the wrong things. When I found God, I found me. Why? Because He's the Creator. He knows me. Miles Monroe said it like this: if you want to know the purpose of a thing, never ask the thing. Purpose is found in the mind of the Creator. So your friendship with God gives you access to know who you are. But while you're trying to figure out who you are, you can't find yourself. Why? Because you're not the designer. Wrestling with flesh and blood, no. Principalities and powers, we're wrestling with demonic forces, we're wrestling with things that are beyond the scope of natural comprehension. So a lot of people are into paranormal stuff, right? You're people all over the place trying to get into paranormal stuff. They want to tinker with stuff. You can tinker with that if you want to. You can mess with it if you want to. God wants to reveal things to us, but He can't reveal it to us until we get aligned with Him. We have to be in agreement with God in order to hear from God and to know what God is trying to communicate to us. And it's not spooky, because the interpretation tool that you need is called the Bible. This word gives us an interpretation of what God's mind is, so that when we come to this, He can give us a common language back to us and speak to our hearts, speak to our spirits. Give us an understanding. So while I may understand that there's something else going on, when I read this passage, we all understand, oh, it's not flesh and blood, it's principalities and powers. I knew it was something else. So then the spirit man inside you starts to agree with the word of God, and then you start to be able to see what you couldn't see before. Because your spirit is now has something to agree with. So look what we've got here. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's go to the next verse, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Take this armor of God so that you might be able to stand in the evil day. The passage in Proverbs says that if you faint in the day of adversity, it's because your strength was small. But you know what? All of our strength is too small. That's why you got to be strong in the Lord. Because when you're strong in the Lord, you don't faint. Your body may be faint, but your spirit man stands up in you. When you face that thing and you run to the end of your strength, you need that spirit man to be in agreement with God so that you're strengthened on the inside, and that whatever it is, no matter how big it is, having done all to stand, you can still stand. When I was 25 years old, I had two kids and out of work, and it was wearing on a brother. Wearing hard on a brother. How did I stand? Strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. You got to be strong in the Lord sometimes. Sometimes you don't have nowhere else to turn. You got to be strong in the Lord. And remember, because God is our friend and God is our Father, we get into difficult situations and we feel like we can't make it, but what does he do? He says, oh, you can make it. Lord, I'm asking you to help me. I don't worry, I got you. But you're gonna stand up and be strong in this one. I got you covered. I have you, but I'm not gonna do it for you. You see, I took the left training wheel off and I'm holding the back of the seat. You're not gonna fall, but you got to pedal. Yeah. We ain't going nowhere till you pedal. We're gonna sit right here until you pedal. I got you, so I'm standing you up, but you're gonna have to pedal, baby. Why? Because I already know you have the strength. I've empowered you. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I know you have the strength. That's why I won't let y'all say nothing negative about yourself. Because I know you got something in you. I don't care if you dropped out of kindergarten. Mom, I'm coming home. I don't care. Even if that's the case, you're not dumb. And you don't let anybody tell you you're dumb. Just because you don't know what somebody else knows doesn't mean you're dumb. And when you have received God in your life, Jesus says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He blows on us and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now with the Holy Spirit, what have I got? I got wisdom, knowledge, understanding. I got all kind of stuff. Batman got the tool belt. I got the Holy Spirit. I got something for everything. I'll swing on something. I'll blow something up. Whatever I need, I got it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has given me everything I need. He's given me everything I need. Every wile of the devil. Take up the whole armor. Take up the whole armor. You can't get the whole armor unless you are connected to God. You got to be aligned with God, because this armor is not about the same type of physical warfare. This armor is about putting on characteristics that God has given us. And with those characteristics he's given us, you can walk through anything. When you have a helmet of salvation on and you know that you're saved, you know that God loves you, you know that, then you know what? You walk through. When you have your breastplate of righteousness, you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that Christ has made you righteous. He that knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. When you know that you have his righteousness, then I don't walk in condemnation. I don't walk around feeling guilty. Why? Because I'm redeemed. I have righteousness on me. I wear righteousness. Somebody see you wearing something sharp, they say, oh, wear that, brother. I say, I'm wearing this righteousness. I'm wearing it. It's a covering for me. It's righteousness. I don't know where I'm trying to go. You go where the gospel takes you. Why? Because your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So wherever you need to go, the word of God will take you there. It will take you where you need to go. Oh, Lord, I have a desire to see the world. Praise God, the gospel will take you there. How's it going to take me there? You ever heard of a missionary? Travel all the world, won't you? Oh, but nobody don't want to be no missionary, though. I got news for you. We're going to look at that in a minute. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore with your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of what?
Faith.
Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you cannot see. Faith is your ability to trust God and not yourself. So I heard a pastor teach this, that there were four levels of faith. So turn to Matthew chapter 14 real quick. I'll share with these four levels of faith with you real quick. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to start it, we're going to go from verse 20 through verse 32. A lot of verses, but it'll go quick. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, one of the things that happens is that Jesus is out preaching and 5,000 people show up. Jesus preaches all day long. I'm only going to get y'all for an hour, but Jesus was preaching all day long. So long that people were hungry, and the disciples looked at him and said, Jesus, you need to let these people go because they're hungry and they're looking at us. He said, you feed them. But we would need all kinds of food to feed these people. Jesus works a miracle. There's a little boy there with enough food for a little boy to carry. He multiplies it, passes it out. They give back baskets of food after the fact. Miracle. So after seeing this miracle, Jesus tells his disciples, listen, I want you guys to get in this boat, and I want you to go on the other side of the sea. Jesus, you're not coming? No, just get in the boat and go to the other side of the sea. So they get in the boat. And we're going to pick up right there. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Now disciples, Jesus is sending you away to go ahead. How do you think he's getting to the other side? Well, he told us to go. We're going to go. So the man I'd heard teach this, he said, there's four levels of faith. The first level of faith is the people who showed up and just believed Jesus was going to feed them. Those are the people who all of us, we get into the thing, in the situation where we're believing God for things and God is blessing us. And we're taking it on. We're receiving it. Our faith is getting us through day to day. Give me my daily bread. Praise the Lord. I'm believing God for my daily bread. I'm believing God for my monthly bread. Whatever bread you're believing for is what we're talking about. The second level of faith is the disciples who then believe Jesus when he gives them a command and just step out. They had to step out into this thing. They had to say, okay, he told us to hand out the baskets. We're going to do that. So everybody who then goes past meeting their own needs and start stepping into obeying God to bless other people is a whole nother level of faith. It's a whole nother level of faith. It's a level where I'm no longer only thinking about me. Now I'm letting my love come forward another level, because faith works by love. So the love that's in me is starting to go to another level, and I'm not the star of the show. I'm using my faith for other things. But it has to be in obedience to God. So then they get out here, and Jesus has waited. Let's go to the next verse. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. So it's evening time. Now Sun has gone down. The boat's in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Would you be troubled if you're in the boat, on the sea, in the waves, and you look out and you see someone looking like Jesus walking? Now, they're troubled in the boat. He's on the water. Yes, I will be very troubled. They saw him walking on the sea and they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." Now, you're on the sea, in the middle of the sea, your boat's getting tossed and you see a ghost. Most of us would be done. Most of us would be totally done. A ghost? Oh no. And they cried out for fear. Of course they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Okay, I got a problem. I see a ghost walking on the water, and the ghost says, "Don't be afraid. It's me." You who? Next verse. And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come on this water." But what if it's not him, Peter? Here's the third level of faith. The third level of faith is trusting that you hear the voice of God. And when you hear it, you're willing to do what it says. See, the first level of faith, believe in God. Your life demands that you have a certain level of faith. Your life in Christ demands that. So we believe God for the things we need, and we operate by faith. We believe God. The second level of faith is that level of service where I believe God wants me to serve, so I step in and I begin serving. But the third level of faith requires a total agreement with God, because now you can't fake it. Now it's time that we will all know if it's real or if it's not real. If it's you, command me to step on the water. See, this is where we get to stuff that's impossible. It's stuff that you can't do on your own, and that if it works, everybody will have to know you heard from God. This is a whole nother level of faith, and you must be prepared no matter who you are, because there's going to come a day where you're going to be in a storm and Jesus is going to say, "Come out here. Step in the water. Step in the water." They were singing it today, right? Step in the water. It's going to come a day where your faith is going to demand that you take a step. See, step of provision, you can fake it. You can get a job and provide for yourself. Step of service, you can serve, you know. Even when I'm not feeling it, I can serve. But when it's time to step in the water, you can't fake it. When it's time to step in the water, it's got to be God. But he says, "Do not fear. It is I." It's your friend. It's the voice you know. It's the person you're connected to, you're agreed with. It's me. Come on this water. And Peter stepped in the water. Look at this. And when Peter had come down, he had to get down out of the boat. Some people, he just stepped over the side. This was, it's at least 12 guys on this boat. This is not a little rowboat. This is a boat, a big old boat. He had to climb down. When he had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Everybody talks about Jesus walking on the water. Peter walked on the water. See, here's part of our foundation as Christians. We have to know that when we are in agreement with God, that you can work miracles. You need to be confident that you can do this. You can work miracles. You can step into the impossible. You can step. You can step into the impossible. So what happens next? But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus said, "You had it. You were walking. Why did you doubt?" See, agreement. We got to stay agreed with God. So the question of the day is, do you believe who God's making you to be? Or are you doubting? All of us have some doubt, but God's call is to be in agreement and be who he says you can be. If he says, come on this water, then go on the water. If he says, apply for that job, apply for the job. Now, keep your finger there. Go to Hebrews chapter 6 real quick. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. We're going to go back to Matthew. Just take a look at this at Hebrews 11. Everybody knows what it says, but I want you to lay your eyes on it. Hebrews 11. So, the first level of faith, believing God for your needs. Second level of faith is believing God to serve, stepping out in obedience to God. Third level of faith is get out of the boat, walk on the water. The fourth level of faith is after you've done those things, the fourth level is, I don't care if I fail. See, we're so busy worrying about whether we're going to be successful or not that we're too afraid to step in the water. And then once we step in the water, we're worried about what the rest of the disciples are going to say when we get back to the boat. But they're still in the boat. See, sometimes it wasn't 12 of them that stepped out there. We talked about the 10 lepers. The 10 lepers got healed. They went away. Jesus, give us something. Be healed. Go. Go show yourselves to the priest. When they're walking away, they realize they're healed. Only one comes back. Why? Because he was made whole. He understood it. See, it's not always going to be a group of people that can step into the water. Who can step out. A lot of times you got to step out by yourself. Even when other people don't understand, you got to know, did I hear Jesus say step out? And guess what? Jesus didn't call them out. Peter said, if it's you, call me out. So you got to be willing to say, Lord, if it's you, call me out. Call me out on this job. If you need a revival to start on this job, call me out. And I'll step in the water. If you need my city to be transformed, bid me to call on this water. And if you hear him, step in the water. But like I said, the problem is we can't get to the fourth level of faith because fear. Fear stops us. But God is not pleased with performance. Hebrews 11, look at verse 6. But without what? Faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not your performance to please God. It's your faith. Sometimes you got to know the worst thing you ever fail at will probably be the thing that God blesses you the greatest in. Because sometimes you fail in your own strength and God sees your faith and then God gives you another door, another window, another opportunity. And then when you go through it, you go through it strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not worried about yourself or what anybody else says. Sometimes you got to get dirty before you can really get into something. I played football in high school, and at practice is one thing. And that first time you really get hit, it's liberating. And one of two things is going to happen. Either you'll get hit and you're done because that ain't for me, or you get hit and you go, "Woo, yeah, I'm ready now. Now I'm ready to play." Why? Because once you get one and you realize you made it, woo, okay, let's play. Sometimes you got to take one before you understand how to take ground. See, there's no conquering without a warfare. But the warfare is not physical, it's spiritual. So sometimes you got to take some spiritual hits. Sometimes you got to take some emotional hits. Sometimes you got to take some things that hit you and they shake you and they make you, whoo. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do this now. God does not measure you by your performance. God measures you by your faith. And your faith is the measure of your agreement with him. Last passage. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you in agreement? All right, we're going to shut it down with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everybody might be familiar with this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay. Let's tie this all together. Get y'all home. God has made us, through Christ, agreed with him. We agree with God. He says that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So I come before God. I say, God, see me for who I am. You see who I am. You see my cracks. You see my flaws. You see everything about me. You see my sin nature. You see it all. Here I am. I agree with God that I'm not God. He says, good, we're in agreement. Now, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. I believe. I say it. I'm saved. Now he says, now, if any man now be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. So because I believe in my heart and have confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, he's made me now a new creation. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. And because I'm now with him, my eyes are open to the fact that I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not my problem, nor will it ever be. I am not showing up to that fight with a sword. I know what fight I'm in. I'm coming with the right weapons. Because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that would try to exalt itself above my knowledge of God. And my knowledge of God comes from the fact that I'm agreed with him. I'm agreed with him in salvation. So now, as a new creature who's agreed with God in salvation, who knows I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood, I can now give my attention to what I need to give it to. And that is the elevation of my faith. Because I don't have to be afraid. Because God could save me eternally, so that means God can save me in the short term. See, when Peter went out on the water, he walked on the water, and the disciples are still in the boat looking. But when he walks on the water, however many steps it was enough that they couldn't just reach out and touch Jesus. So he walked out there part of the way, and when he cries, "Lord, help me," what did the Lord do? The Lord helped him. But the Lord was not going to help him take those steps on the water because he knew he could walk. And Jesus' response was, "Why did you doubt? You were walking. You had it. Why did you doubt? You're a new creation. Those guys in the boat don't know what you are. You're a new creation. You stepped out. You are something special. You're not the same. There's something new about you, and you almost discovered what it was. You almost discovered that water cannot stop you. You almost discovered that all the way. And guess what? You might have fallen." And he had to tell him later, "When you fall, it's okay. Because when you get strengthened, then go strengthen those guys in the boat. Go help them in the boat. You're going to go down. So what? I don't care that you went down. My question wasn't, how come you didn't walk? It was, where is your faith?" Jesus wasn't excited because he walked. Jesus was excited because he had faith. Because he said, "Lord, call me out and I will do it." He had the willing heart to step out boldly. And so God said, "I see that. I bless that." But faith is like manna. Children of Israel, God said, "I'm going to feed you this little stuff. I'm going to put it on the ground." And they looked and said, "What is it?" So what is it in Hebrew means manna. So that's what it was. They looked down and, "What is this? We're going to eat the what is it today." So they would pick it up and they would eat it. And they said, "Oh, this guy is actually kind of good." And the Lord said, "Now, you can only pick enough for today. Don't try to pick 2 days worth. Because if you pick 2 days, it's going to go bad on you." But they, of course, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to pick up 2 days and it would rot in the house. "Oh, Lord, what is it? Ooh, get it out of here." He said, "Only on Friday, the day before the Sabbath, can you pick it and it won't rot because you can't work on Saturday. So he gave it to them every day. Every day they got it. They would go out and get it and it was good for the day. Your faith is like manna. You can't save it for tomorrow. You got to use it today. Faith is only good for today. It's got 1 day expiration. Today's the day. What you going to do? It doesn't store. You can't put it away for tomorrow. It's for today. Right now. Your faith is for now. You have to use it right now. So right now, you don't have to go conquer a mountain. Right now, you need to step with the first level of faith. Believe God for what you need. Believing for today. Give me today my daily bread. Believe God for that. And when you master that, then take another step of faith. Now start serving. Lord, give me the faith to serve. Give me the blessing, the heart to serve. Then serve. And then when the day comes, step in the water. Just know the water's coming. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask that your word would fill our minds, fill our hearts, fill our spirits, Lord.